Welcome to this podcast series on inclusion and education from the University of Leeds. Our research brings together experts in education, childhood and youth studies with an aim to promote equality across family, education, policy, legal and community settings. To read more about our work, please visit the School of Education website. You can find this link and others discussed during the podcast in the programme description.
Hello, my name's Luke McFarlane, and welcome to the Inclusion and Education podcast from the University of Leeds. Today, we have two guests. If you would care to introduce yourselves and tell us about your collaboration over the last many years.
Thank you very much, Luke. My name is Michalis Kontopoudis. I'm a chair in Global Childhood and Youth Studies at the University of Leeds. Let me introduce our very important guest we have today. Anna Stetsenko, Professor Anna Stetsenko, is associated with the PhD program in psychology with a joint appointment in the PhD program in urban education at the very famous Graduate Center at the City University of New York. Her research is situated at the intersection of human development, social theory, and education. And prior to working in the US, she worked around the world, and we will be talking a little bit about this later. And we are now planning joint panels and conversations in a forthcoming conference, the Critical Psychology Summer University, which will take place in Berlin in September. We will include all these links in the podcast for anybody who would like to follow up. So, Anna, a warm welcome. We're very happy to have you as our host today. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, yes. I also want to say thank you. Thank you, Michalis, for inviting me. And I will very briefly say that, yes, we do go back some time working together and staying in touch. And I have great admiration for Michalis, for your work, and for your commitment to issues that are really important in the world and how international you are and interdisciplinary you are. So that's really things that I admire about you.
I think this wonderful introduction links very well to a question I have for you, Anna. So your pioneering book, which I have just referred to, let me repeat the title, The Transformative Mind, Expanding Vygotsky's Approach to Development and Education, which is published with Cambridge in 2017. So this book brings in dialogue various critical and relational traditions of scholarship, including critical theory, relational thinking in biology, and feminist approaches. Does this synthesis reflect a little bit your own life history and academic trajectory through different contexts and countries? Would you like to talk us a little bit about this and how you also see the transformative activist stance transforming existing theory across all these different fields?
Look, I think one thing for sure about me, and by the way, it's also the same is true about Michalis, but I've really traveled the world, so I worked and lived in many different places, and that's a useful experience. It's invaluable experience of straddling contexts, political contexts, and historical contexts, and that my journey began. Yes, that's a very peculiar thing, at least for me, I think, and very important thing, that the ability to see and to look at the world from very different lenses, through the lens that is not located in one place and that is historical, because I also think I can look back and say that I already can reflect on several historical time frames or epochs, if you like, even, such as the time of pre-1991, which was the time of a very big social movement in the Eastern Europe, and then after that, the time in the 90s, which I describe in my works in great detail, which was the time of the end of history. So that's very significant to me to talk about this, because I describe it in my works as the time when people thought we just achieved everything, we know what we need, a democratic society all over the world. And that was so premature. I don't want to speak too much. That could take hours to just describe that. But that was certainly premature, as most people realized by 2008, at least with the crisis, with the world crisis. So we are nowhere near the end of history. We are in the midst of history right now, right here. The history is dramatic. We are in the midst of dramatic events.
Thank you very much. Michaelis, if we move on to your research now, what are the effects the pandemic has had on global debt, poverty, and the marginalization of children and young people? Are there positive possibilities emerging from this time of crisis?
Thank you, Luke. I think I'm inspired by the research by Professor Stetsenko here. And I could mention just one dimension for a moment, which I think is important for this discussion. Even before the pandemic, the world's total debt was $244 trillion. So this is almost now the debt in the end of 2020, it has increased to $281 trillion. And this is almost three times the whole global gross domestic product we are producing as in the world today. So why am I saying this? Because even before the pandemic, there was so much debt there for the next generations to come that probably can never be paid back. Now, today, after the pandemic, all this has become worse. And a recent report by UNICEF referred to the children and young people growing up today as the generation COVID, in the sense that the whole future, the future of a whole generation, is at risk. Unfortunately, there will be long-lasting impact in terms of underfunded education and welfare systems, precarious livelihoods, poverty, increasing rates of unemployment, forced immigration, and we're afraid that there will be ever-increasing inequalities related to gender, racial, cultural, religious and geographical aspects. Now, this connects very well to the work by Anna about agency. I would like to say very briefly that crisis in ancient Greek has a positive connotation as well. So crisis is a time of the is a turning point of a disease in ancient Greek. It is the time of an intense difficulty, suffering or danger. We can talk about the current economic crisis or a family crisis, but it is also a time when a difficult or important decision must be made. So a crisis point of history, and there is the positive potential that eventually this is the moment to change direction. Okay, let me go back to the work by Anna. Anna, I was really inspired when I read your recent article on critical challenges in cultural historical theory, The Urgency of Agency, which is published very recently in Cultural Historical Psychology. So would you like to talk us a little bit about the urgency of agency in terms of the pandemic in the way you refer to this in this article?
So, yes, I believe very passionately in the need to reorient our theories and our education in the direction of emphasizing agency and putting it up front. Some people would say, well, we've had works on agency, we've always spoken about structure and agency, but I have looked closely and I've come to a conclusion that even when people talk about agency and write about agency, very often there is no connection to the true processes, to seeing how agency is realized, how it is really done, if you like. So what are the processes through which agency is carried out and what can we do to improve it? So when Michaelis mentioned, Professor Kontapodis mentioned, the debt, for example, today and all these problems that we're facing, absolutely, I agree 100%. And then I also want to add that as scholars and educators, of course, we also need to think of what is it that we can do, like in more immediate ways and in ways that have to do with where we are. So what is it that we are charged with? And of course, many of us, and I assume in the audience too, are charged with education and thinking about how to educate students and what can be done to improve this process. And there is much to improve, really. Well, that's to say the least. I mean, education is nowhere where it needs to be in terms of especially celebrating, highlighting, elevating agency of students, not agency of curriculum prescriptions, not the agency of societal structures, but really of those who are on the ground, in the classrooms, teachers and students. So that's where the topic of agency comes alive. And that's where I'm trying to also bring it about. When I say, and I mention me and my work, of course, by the way, I want to get back to what Michalis mentioned before, such as an intersection of many theories. So I don't mean to convey the sense that, oh, that's just me alone doing all of this work. No, I work with many, many different approaches and scholars, both in terms of reading different works and bringing them to bear in my own approach, but also in interacting with many, many scholars all over the world. And I'm using and leaning on great legacy, of course, of Marxism and Vygotsky and many works in Marxism since then, such as Italian Marxist Gramsci and European and British, by the way, Marxist and so on. But I'm also leaning on feminist and decolonial scholarship, especially nowadays with many important works that are developed within critical race theory and other theories of resistance. I like to call them theories of resistance, that these are approaches I'm using and leaning on and working with. So just to make sure it doesn't sound like it's only me, so definitely not the meaning, but of course, since we're talking about my work, so I do use this expression, and it's hard to present all the nuances. Oh yes, like this is also in connection to that scholar or this theory, so I'm not doing justice to everybody and everything that I do in my work. In my book, you will find many, many pages of references to various scholars, but I cannot do it here. So just to make clear that it's not doing full justice. But anyway, agency in education, so the urgency of it. I've recently come to think of it in terms of even saying something very radical and quite extreme. I've come to think about this as when we need to pause and say, stop teaching. I've already spoken about this, and I will be speaking about that more. But I think in schools of education, we need to come together and say to each other and to ourselves and to our teachers who are in schools on the ground, we need to say, stop teaching. Does this sound strange? I hope it does, because that's good. I think strange things are important because they make us think. They make us pause, think things through, and do things differently. So stop teaching in the sense of the routines of what's being very often done. The top-down approach, the transmission model, there has been a lot written about that. And I'm adding this edge of saying, we need to stop teaching and place the students at the center, but not along the lines only of a student-centered approaches, because I think they can be pushed more. And in Britain, there is a great number of excellent scholars in education, critical, including, of course, Professor Kantapodis too, and many others who I work with and interact with. But, I mean, it has still to be conveyed and elaborated more. So what, for example, can be elaborated is that unless we connect to the agency of the students themselves and what they bring to the classroom, not only in terms of their context and their history, that's what is often done in student-centered pedagogy, but unless we connect to what students are striving for, so what is it that they imagine as their future. So in a way, if we do not connect to what the students are imagining and striving at and struggling for, unless we do this, nothing can happen in terms of education, in terms of teaching and learning or anything of that sort. So that's the sense of saying stop teaching when there is no due emphasis and and celebration of students' voices, agency, interests, of course, but also struggles and strivings. That's what is not present in schools and classrooms. And agency has to do with striving and struggle in the first place, on the ground, in real life, and in terms of each and every one of us trying to find our place and role in the world among other people and making a contribution. This is a very important notion to me, the notion of contribution, that I think we all are striving for something meaningful in lives, and especially in terms of contributing to what's going on. So the question is, what is going on in lives of students? What is it that they're trying to contribute to? How can we get on board with students? That's what education needs to emphasize much more. How we as scholars and teachers in schools, and we are in schools sometimes too, of course, many of us, right? But how we all get on board with what's going on in the lives of students. And we start from there, and we really, really use the tools that can address the issues on the ground for students in their lives, in their strivings. And we can together figure out what is it that could and might need to be done in each particular situation, in each classroom, works, concepts, scholars, and scholarships.
Anna, your work outlines the transformative activist stance as a foundational principle in understanding the processes of the human being and becoming the world in the making. Viewing the world in the making is even more important in the present day context, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. That's the gist of it, exactly. So I am emphasizing, again, along with other scholars, but also in my own way, I'm emphasizing that the world is never stable. It's in the making, but not only in the making on its own, but and not so much in the making on its own, but in the making by us. Each and every person brings something to the table and makes a difference. That's a very important, if you like, humanistic angle here, that really every person counts, every action matters, and that's what is not conveyed in education. But I think in each and every classroom, it's important to emphasize that we all matter in our own ways and in our own places. That's the gist of that notion, transformative activist stance, that I suggest as a term to describe a set of ideas that I work with. But the notion here is also that we matter, each and every one of us, and also that we matter as we also make up our own mind. So the notion of taking a stance or making up our mind, that's extremely central to me. So you know the expression, make up your mind, right? Make up your mind, meaning just make a decision, make a choice, right? Just take a position, and that's used very colloquially, make up your mind. Well, I insist that this is a theoretical principle. The minds are really made up in the process of people taking a stance, starting from the early childhood, actually. So you will not find a young child who is neutral. Children want something. They know what they want, and they're very passionate about what they want. And very often it's hard to convince them to do something different than what they want to do. So that's the notion of taking a stance already, even in this mundane ways with really early childhood. And this is true throughout our lives, that depending on how we position ourselves, take a stand, make a decision, take sides. This is about taking sides. This is the process of literally making up our minds. The minds are not pre-programmed, not given, not just developing, not just existing. They're made up continuously. This is a very active, agentive process of making up our minds as we at the same time also are making up our contributions, making up or just making our contributions to what's going on in the world. So that's another aspect of my work where I emphasize really the nexus, what I call the nexus of us making up our own minds and positions and this being at the same time about making something out in the world. This is just one and the same process. That's something I could take a long time to describe, but I want to say that we are not just changed by the world, and we're not just changing the world. It's one process. We are changing the world just as at the same time as the world is changing us. It's one process with two facets, but it's one in two, just as teaching and learning are not separate. I'm very, you know, like really feeling strongly about not breaking up things. Oh, but it is a big thing. I mean, because things are still broken up between the subject and the object, the body and the mind. They're still here in these broken pieces. But anyway, so we are changing the world, and we are changed by the world as one process, which I call the nexus at the intersection of us and the world, which is not about just seeing this as additive, not seeing these as being added up like two things, two plus two. No, it's more where we need to break the mold of thinking in pieces, break the mold of thinking in separateness or separate unities, and begin to think in a continuous dynamic that is never stopping. It's ceaseless, it's ongoing, it's dynamically unfolding all the time with no breaking ever in between. So here then I would say, speaking about also agency, that our agency is about how we change the ways of how the world is changing us through.
If we come back to the pandemic, which links very well to what you have just said, Anna, there was a sentence in that recent article of yours, which we will link in the description of this podcast for our readers to be able to find and to read. So that sentence, I'm quoting you now, is the pandemic gives us a chance to recognize that our health and lives are completely and inextricably linked to our fellow human beings and all of humanity. This idea of being connected to its other, I think is very important. So would you have a concluding statement for this podcast episode in that regard? Yeah.
Yes. So thank you. Thank you for that, for bringing this up, Professor Kantapoidis. Yes, I think that it needs to be said that everything that has been said so far makes sense only if we also see that none of us is isolated. None of us is just an individual separate on his or her own under the skin. A lot has been written about that, but I think we need to think it through even more carefully and more boldly, because if we ever needed an example that we are interconnected, indeed, this is the time. We know that something that happens in a faraway place on a different continent, many thousand kilometers from you, can affect you directly. And then how you are and what you do on everyday basis in your everyday life, whether you wear a mask, for example, or not, whether you believe in vaccination or not. It turns out that this affects everybody, practically all of humanity, by the way. Let's say it this way. Yes, whether you walk out of your door with certain things in mind and while doing or not doing certain things can affect the rest of the world very immediately. Isn't that kind of crazy? No, I don't think it's crazy. It really is going to the heart of what I would like to share. So this is about solidarity at a very deep level and about deep and profound sociality of all of us, because we all depend on each other. And this has been said again and again by Vygotsky, of course, by Martin Luther King Jr., by scholars in the critical race tradition, and others, of course. Absolutely, I could go with lists of names. But I think in a way we kind of need to rediscover this for ourselves and to bring it in bolder ways to our own lives and to our own ways of thinking, especially if we are teaching, if we are in schools, and by the way, not teaching, but teaching and learning. teach learning. I say even like one word, teach learning. Okay. I don't know how it sounds to you, but I'm working on maybe that could be another word, but maybe we can use all of us at the Chinese word. Why not? We need to learn languages because we are one. We are one planet, of course, one humanity where we are literally at our elbows with each other. Even if you think, let's say some small country on another continent is far away, it's not far away. It's here. You can see it. You can feel it. And it affects you and you affect it in this ceaseless spiral of mutual becoming where there are no breaks and where each and every one play of us plays a role, if you like. That's an improvisation, so I don't have this written up. It's not a formula, and maybe there are ways to say it in more exact ways, but it's not about formulas. It's not about any definitions. By the way, that's also important to me. There is no final word. My word is not final. Of course, nobody would imply that, and I certainly don't mean it this way myself, but yeah, we all have to make up our minds while seeing that we are interdependent in the degree that we could have not seen before, we could not have predicted. And it's just up to us to make up our minds and open our eyes and look out of our windows, as I try to do every day, in the metaphorical sense of seeing what's going on in the world. I personally read in four languages, typically on one single day. I mean, news and various podcasts, yes. But anyway, I interact with people literally from all over the world, which I'm very proud of and grateful to about and to these people, such as Professor Kantapodis here and Luke, who I'm happy to meet. And that's the value, of course, of being international with that. And I'm very happy about that again. But yeah, especially because it kind of makes it more easy to grasp the interdependence. Yeah, the interdependence and the need for agency and solidarity. Okay, that's probably how I would sum it up, although it wouldn't do justice to everything. Nothing would. There is no formula. Yes.
Thank you for very, very much, Professor Setsenko. We are very happy to have you. We are honored, really, to have had you as our guest today. And we are not only interdependent, we are also hyper-connected, obviously.
Yes.
So it's great to have you from New York joining our series in this this podcast series. And we also hope to have you, of course, face-to-face in Leeds at some point whenever this may be again possible. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. For more information about our work, please visit the School of Education website. If you have any questions about our research, or if you would like to study with us at the University of Leeds, you can contact the Research Centre Director, Professor Michalis Kontopodis, for further details. You will find all relevant links and contact details in the programme description.